to believe in Jesus Christ, you must accept him. There's a lot of people who believe in Jesus Christ that just have never accepted him as Lord and Savior. It's not enough to know that you need to be saved. You need to be saved. Just because you know it, you need to be saved. A lot of people say they believe in Jesus Christ as not saved. You have to accept him as that experience in your life. Believe in Jesus Christ, and we thank you this morning. And the reason we're here is because of Jesus Christ, and we thank the Lord so much today. We just praise him. I ask you, if you will, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 7. Before revival, we preached on the first part of this message about how Caesarion had captured this little town in Jerusalem, and how that they had surrounded them, and how they had waited there until everybody in that city had begun to starve literally to death. You mean Ben-Hagen, he was the king of a Syrian army, and they moved in around the little town of Samaria, in this village. And this Ben-Hagen and his army, they just camped out, like you go in camping of a day. I mean, you just take everything you need. You take all your food and your victuals, and you take your clothing, and you just go and camp out. Well, the army of that king had camped out around that city, and that's the way they had war in that days. They would camp out, and they would just starve the people to death until they just give up. You remember it got so bad, what happened to them at... They begin to eat a donkey's head, dove dung, but that wasn't the worst of it. It kept on going until these two ladies, they said, you know, we will eat your son today, and tomorrow we'll eat my son. And the Bible says they did boil and they did eat one of the sons. But other lady says she went and hit her son and wouldn't let him have hers. Went to the king and told the king about it, and the king ripped his clothes off and hopeless. And what are we going to do? Well, I'd like for you to see this story now, because we have here in this surrounding area of the Samaria, this town of the Jews at that time, they were starved to death, surrounded by the enemies. And here we have over in the camp of the Syrians, they have plenty of everything. But over in this camp where they had surrounded this city, there was absolutely no hope. They were surrounded by the enemy. They had no power within themselves to get out of that city, to break loose, to break those bonds that the enemy had upon them. Only it had been a blessing from God, and it was a blessing from God. Elijah said, you know, this day, tomorrow, that you said that, you know, that fine flour will be sold for just a few pennies, and barley of just a few pennies. You have plenty of everything that you want. And one of the leaders of Israel said, I don't believe this. If the Lord will open up the windows of heaven, I don't believe this could happen. And Elijah said, you'll see it. He said, but you will not eat thereof. And the time this happened, we know that he was at the gate. He saw the great blessings, but it said in the Bible that he was run over and was killed. He saw it, but he did not receive of it. I'd like for you to see these circles of these two camps. This camp of the nation of Israel, and we've been surrounded, that is represents that, you know, the lost people of the world. I mean, they're lost people as in bondage. They're starving to death spiritually, and they have no hope. They on a depraved diet. They eat the things of this world. They are starving to death. There's no way in their possible means that they can break out of this bondage of Satan. You and I also know that whenever we was in bondage of sin, there was no power within our own self to break the shackles of Satan had upon us. We was lost, doomed, and damned, and on our way to hell. There was nothing that we could do. No power that we had could break the shackles of this death that we had upon us. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God That is the power it breaks through in your life and my life, and the gift of God that is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We were just as hopeless as this nation Israel was without the supernatural interference of God coming to our life. If some soul winner didn't tell you about Jesus Christ and the conditions you're in, and let the Holy Spirit of God convict you that you was lost and doomed and in the circle of death as this nation was, there was no help. God used these four leopard people there to go and witness and tell them exactly the blessing that God had given them. You and I stand today, if you're saved today, I hope you understand it ought to really bother your heart. It ought to break your heart. It ought to burden your heart. That there's so many people surrounded by the enemy, and they are hopeless as you was hopeless. They do not have no help whatsoever, no way to break out of the city of bondage that Satan has around them because of falling nature of the flesh and the worldly system of Satan and Satan himself. They are doomed and damned and on their way to hell, and no way in the world that they can ever break out. You could not break out, and I cannot break out. We was there at the mercy of Satan himself. And this is a story about four men and went and told the great blessings of God. Now God had already said, I'm going to send a host of the angels and the Assyrian army. Understood that they thought that the Egypt and also the Hittites had been hired by the Jews. And they thought they was coming up against them, and they were just a noise from heaven. And they left everything in their tents. They left all their food. They left all their money. Left all their gold and their silver and their remnants. And they just left and went away. There was a great blessing. God had invaded the enemy army and broke loose and give the victory to the nation of Israel. But on this thing, they need to have somebody to go and tell him. Now what Jesus Christ has done for you and I today and for the world, through Calvary's cross, he has broke into the army's camp on the death on the cross of Jesus Christ, and he's made it possible now for all the great blessings that we have today in Christ Jesus. The people that are starving to death, he became the bread of life to them. The people that's thirsting now, for they are righteous, he is the water of life. And those that needs a new garment, he is the righteousness of Christ Jesus, that he clothes us in his righteousness today. What Jesus Christ has done for you and I today, and what he wants to do for every lost sinner today, if we have some soul winner, tell them what he's already done and invaded the camp of the enemy. And now this day, if we would just go tell them, explain the victory that Jesus Christ has already had for those people that do not know him. That's where you and I fit in. This ought to really bless our hearts today to know that you are a soul winner for Jesus Christ. Every child of God is a soul winner for Jesus Christ. You are either good or bad, but God has called you into this soul winning. So as we look at this morning, let's think about this now. Let's go and tell. These four lepers knew exactly what had happened, and they needed to go tell. Let's look at this now as I read verse 9 of chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 9. As you keep your Bible open, we'll be reading several verses of Scripture as I fill in these points. It says, now these lepers outside after they had already heard what had happened, then said one to another, we do not well this day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning night light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Let us pray. Jesus, our heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you might open up our eyes and our understanding. Father, I pray you might break up the deepness of our hearts, O God, that they might come, O God, warm today to understand that we stand outside the gates, O God, of a many person, and Lord, is lost and undone in this world. And Father, how that we can see, if we save here the day, that we can see the blessing that you have blessed us with. Father, we have been to the cross of Christ to see the victory in Jesus Christ, and how that we can live this life in victory for what Christ has done for us, and how, Father, we don't have to hunger no more because we have the bread of life. And Father, how we don't have to thirst no more because, Lord, we have the water of life in our soul today. And Father, we don't have to worry about the rags, Lord, that we wear today because we wear the righteous rags of Jesus Christ. And Father, how that we need to tell this world because there's no hope without us. God has left us in this world, God, to tell the great message, what you've done on Calvary's cross. And Lord, how you died, Lord, to save sinners, oh God. How you come in this world today, oh God, to save sinners. And how we thank you, God, for what you have done and what you're going to do today. And Father, we just pray today, if there's a person here that's never tried to win a soul, if there's a person here that's not burdening upon souls today, if there's a person here today is undone and lost without Jesus Christ, I pray today that you might understand it's not enough just to say that you need to be saved. It's just not enough just to say that I believe in Jesus Christ. Lord, you need to become and then, Lord, to the very throne of God and understand that he's the one that saves our soul, and you need to give your life to Jesus Christ today. I hope the Lord puts someone on your heart, your mind today that you need to witness to. Father, because we need to witness to this world, the reason we're left in this world. And Lord, how we pray and thank you for what you're going to do in this service here today. We honor you today in song service. We honor you today in our prayer service. Father, we honor you today in the reading of your holy word today. And we thank you for the Spirit of God that stirs our heart today to understand we on this side of eternity and the souls that we win, we have to win, Father, here on this side. And Lord, we want to thank you and praise you, God, for the great God that you are and what you have done for us even this day. And we thank you, Lord, in all these blessings we ask in the precious and holy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today. Let us go and tell. I really do believe that's what we need to do today. Go and tell. The miracle of Elisha today, how that our life can be a life of miracles today through the supernatural life that Jesus Christ lives in us today. If you're saved, you have a supernatural life. You have a spiritual life in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us today. Pleasant Hill, I tell you, we need to influence people today about accepting Jesus Christ and lead them to the Lord. I'll ask you this very moment now, is there anybody, as you look back in your life, if you're saved here this morning, is there anybody that you look back in your life and say, well, that person had a lot of influence on my life to bring me to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Is some grandmother somewhere or another? It might be a member of this church that you know that kept on working with you and kept on telling you and kept on helping you that you become to know Jesus Christ. Are there somebody that catches your mind? Are there somebody who's that poor old dad? Is that grandfather or that grandmother? If it's some old saint of this church that doesn't want on to be with the Lord, that worked with you and brought you to the knowledge of salvation, do you think about that person at this hour? And not only that, they just kept keeping on. Well, as you look back and you think about that some person that had some influence, that some person that told you that the enemy camp had been invaded by Jesus Christ, and there you were starving to death and you was hunger and you thirst after righteousness in Jesus Christ, he was a right way for you today. But now I want you to think about this. Now as your life, as you look into the future, are they somebody that you might influence for Jesus Christ? Is your life going to be a monument to someone 20 years from now, 10 years from now, 50 years from now, 10 years, 5, 4, 3, 2, whatever, is they looking now, back now, could they see that person sitting in these pews this day, they could say, yes, that person helped me. That person let me know that I was lost and I needed salvation. That person been at my house. That person was on visitation and knocked at my house and I was not interested in Jesus Christ. I was not interested in hearing anything of what they had to say, but that person kept coming back and that person kept coming back and that person kept praying for me. And that person told me, said, I'm praying for you. I want you to be saved. And they kept on, and they would not give up. And finally, you know, it broke through that I needed Jesus Christ. I was in the darkness of my sin. I was circled by the enemy, and there was no way out. There was no way that I might be able to get food. There was no way that I was able to get water. And my clothes was now a clothes of rags. But they let me know that there was a way. They have been to the camp that Jesus Christ has spoiled on the Calvary cross. And he says there's plenty of everything that you need in your heart and your soul to be satisfied if you understand what Christ has done for you. And all you have to do is just go and take freely of everything that you want in this camp. And I understood that, and they helped me. If anybody that you think of right now has helped you to be where you are today, the reason that you're sitting in this building today was that your mother or your father had brought you on Wednesday night and kept you on Sunday morning, and that little child, you know, that you didn't want to come, but you see, there was no dialogue. Mother and father had already decided that your children's going to be at the house of God on Wednesday. Woe to the mothers and fathers today. It will not bring their children to the house of God on Wednesday. Woe, there will be a payday one day. Woe to that person that has too much time on Sunday that they can't bring their little ones to the house of God. Woe to that mother and father today and that grandparents today. But I want to say there will be a payday one day for those parents who understand that the kids need to hear the word of God. Is there somebody, as you look back on your life and say, that person helped me, and that's the reason I'm here today. Our life should be a monument for someone that we have helped to bring into the house of God. There's a sin of silence we understand here. Now, we have the greatest mission on this world. We have the greatest message, and we have the greatest master of this world today. Look at the world's religion today, and we have the greatest. I'm going to tell you, we have a greatest mission today. Jesus Christ said the Great Commission, as you are going, go out into this world, and as you're going, we have the greatest commission. Jesus Christ, He has told us to go, not to come and sit. He said for us to go, our Great Commission. But you see, we have the greatest message of all the world today, and it's a saving gospel message of Jesus Christ. It's not a dead religion, it is a live religion. It's Jesus Christ. But not only that, we have the greatest master, because Jesus Christ came out of that grave. It's not old Buddha somewhere or another. I'm going to tell you, He's still in that old grave. I'm going to tell you, but Jesus Christ, we have the greatest master. He come out of that grave, and He's alive forevermore. We don't have to worry about this religions of the world, these old dead and washed out religion. We think about the Islamic religion today, but I'm going to tell you what, that is a dead religion. That is an occult religion. And I'm going to tell you, their religion sends people to hell. But I'm going to tell you what, we have the greatest message, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, you shall be saved. And today we have that great master, and we call Him Lord Jesus Christ. Many Christians today, and I believe many churches today, are sinning against the very command of God Himself, because we have the sin of silence. If you're not witnessing, you're not right with God. It don't matter what else that you do. If you're not witness for Jesus Christ, if you're saved, you're not right with God. I don't care how faithful that you attend church. You may not never miss a meeting. I don't care how eloquent you preach, or maybe you that you teach. It won't matter how much that you give. It don't matter how straight that you walk or how beautiful you sing. If you're not witnessing and trying to get people saved, inviting them to church, I'm going to tell you, for salvation, that you're not right with God. Andrew Murray said there's two type of Christians. They're soul winners and they're also backsliders. At the early church in the book of Acts, I'm going to tell you what, the Jews was under the bondage at that time of the Roman Empire. They had the power of that Roman Empire that was against them. They had the wisdom and intellect of the Greek, but they had the resistance there of the Judaism. But you see, these few disciples that Jesus Christ called, 120 in that upper room, when the day of a Pentecost come, they come with power. They come with power, and they turned the world upside down. They didn't have the nice, beautiful building that we have here today. They wouldn't have these empty seats. The church would have been full at that time. They didn't have the radio to get out the message that time. They did not have the television. A lot of people said, I sat home and I watched television. I'm going to tell you what, that's not church. I don't care who's preaching. I don't care if it's Billy Graham or any other preacher is preaching. If they're preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, people can be saved, but that's not church. They didn't have television. They didn't have the colleges and the education to go to. They didn't have the seminaries that we go to this day and claim that we know all about the Word of God. They did not have the finances at that time. They did not have the computer or the internet. They went from house to house telling people about Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, it has not changed today with all the technology we have today, the money we have today, the building we have today. How come our church is not full today? How come our church is not full today? Because we're not going house to house. We got everything that the early disciples had. We got more than what they had, and they've done so much with so little, and we do so little with so much. Why? Why do we do? Why if our place are not full? Why are not more people people being saved today here around us today. I'm going to tell you, when the church has a resurrection every Sunday morning here, this hill has a resurrection, and the members of this church, they rise up all over this county and other county and surroundings today. That is our church. But I'm going to tell you, all during this week, that people crosses your life and my life, but do you really tell them about Jesus Christ? We'll talk to them about going fishing. We'll talk to them about weather. We'll talk to them about politics. We'll talk to them about God. But do you talk to them about the most important thing in their life, and that's Jesus Christ? If they don't come to know Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, no matter what else they do, they will be lost, and they're going to a place called hell. I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ did not make hell for any mankind. He said in the Holy Word of God that I have made hell for the devil and his angels. If anybody goes to hell, they go there as intruders. God said, it's not my will that any should perish, that all shall come to the knowledge of saving grace through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today. I'm going to tell you, they've done so much with so little, and we do so little with very, very much that we have. If we believe now, why do we do this? Why is it like this today? How come we're not baptizing 150 or 250? Why we're not baptizing more people today? If we believe what they believed, we would accomplish what they accomplished if we believe what they did. I'm going to tell you, their hearts and their souls and their lives was on fire for Jesus Christ, and they knew the greatest message they had was telling the world about Jesus Christ, and they broke the Roman Empire at that time. They broke slavery at that time because of the Word of God and what they'd done. They believed that God's command, and they did not believe in committing that sin of silence today. And I'm going to tell you, today the world is perishing around us. I'm going to tell you that our world is perishing. This United States that we live in today, I watch the news and I see the rottenness of our country. I see the decay of our country today. And I'm going to tell you what, you don't need to look to Washington. You don't need to look to the Democrats or the Republicans. I'm going to tell you what, that is not the problem of our country today. It is not the politics. The problem of our country today is the people that's called by my name. God says, if you would just humble yourself and pray, and I'm going to tell you what he says then, if you would humble yourself and pray and seek my face, he says, you know what, then I will hear you. And that's what we need to do. We need to humble ourselves today. It's the people today. It's you and I today. I wonder why more people not saved today. If everybody in this church witnessed to somebody last week, I can guarantee you this service this morning would be a different service than what it is right now. If we try to lead one person to Jesus Christ this past week, I can assure you one thing, that God would honor our little effort. He did not tell you that we had to bet 1,000%. I don't bet 1,000% of getting people saved. I don't bet 500. I don't even bet 250. But I'm telling you, if you tell everybody that you see about Jesus Christ, somebody will be saved today. And this service today will be a lot warmer. This service today will be a lot grander. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit of God will be a lot fuller. And the pleasure of God will be here with us today. And the power of God and the glory of God will be a lot greater today if everybody would know what God has called us to do today. But we come and we sit and we soak, and that's not what these four lepers was planned to do. They wanted to tell people about what happened in that camp today. I'm going to tell you, yes, America today, the United States and our world today, we have a famine today, a famine like it was in Samaria. I'm going to tell you, we are starving to death because we're feeding on the things of the world today. As we look at this now in 2 Kings chapter 6, as I back up for just a moment and see what happened in chapter 6. Excuse me, of chapter 6, verse 24 and 25. It says, it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until the ass head was sold for 40 pieces of silver and 40 part of a dove dung for 5 pieces of silver. As you think about this, now they had a great, great problem. There was a famine. I have 3 points I'd like to talk to you about this morning. The problem that they had and the provisions that they needed, but also it comes personal to each and every one of us today. To start with, they had a problem now. They had a problem, and their problem was they were starving to death. Verse 6, chapter 6 of 28, it also says, and the king said unto her, this is a woman that had that child to eat. What saith thee? And she answered and said, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. But you see, that's how bad shape they was in, eating one another, how how bad off they was. They had a depraved diet. They was eating donkey heads. And you think about this morning, how bad they was. They had this depraved diet. But cannibalism is what they was after also. It says there, verse 28, yes, we have a famine in our country today, but it is a famine of the Word of God. I'll tell you what's wrong with our country is the Word of God. The Word of God is not preached by pulpits today. It's tickling of people's ear. They don't want to hear about people being lost and doomed and damned and on the way to hell. You won't find this on one of the TVs today, of these preachers today that's talking. You won't find this, that you're all sinners. And I'm telling you what, you fall short of the glory of God and the wages of sin of death. You won't find this because they're not preaching the Word of God. What's wrong with our country today? It's the Word of God has fell dead in the street today. I'm going to tell you, it's a depraved diet that they was on. In the church today, you know what would happen? We have gathered around, we're eating of the world today, and we're eating of the world today. We got a depraved diet. In the churches today, we have turned into cannibalism. You know what that means? That means we will devour one another. You know what that means? It says that we will backbite. As Christians today, we're consuming one another instead of going out into this world. We have a famine today. Israel needed to rescue because they could not help it. They need to be rescued today. People starving today, spiritually in our country and all around you, your neighbors next door and the people that you work with every day, there are people starving to death. They needed relief. There was no way to get out of that camp. They need someone to help them, and they needed relief. I'm going to tell you today, the pressures today of eating their own child, they were starving to death. But not only that, they need revival, because revival means they was discouraged and they needed hope today. If there ever been a time that we need revival today, it's a day, because there's just no hope as you look out upon our country. We're looking to our government and we see what happened today. We have no hope in our government. There's no hope in the future of our country. Are we heading the way we're heading now? There's no hope, because we're going against God. In any country, any nation that ever goes against God is going down, and our country is going against God just as hard as it can go against God. God, we're going to make God judge our country, and we're going to starve to death spiritually because the Word of God is not being preached. But the second point there is their provisions, a supernatural provision that God made. Provision, now it's supernatural there in chapter 7 in verse 6. For the Lord had made the host of the Assyrians to hear a noise of the chariots, noise of horses, and even the noise of great hosts. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel have hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. I'm going to tell you, there was a supernatural miracle that God moved in. It was a miracle from heaven that moved in, and they took off and they left the running just as hard as they can. It was a very suitable miracle, because it said in verse 7, wherefore they rose and fled in the twilight, and they left their tents, their horses, their asses, even the camp as it were, and they fled for their life. Now, I'm going to tell you, it was sufficient for them also in verse 8. And when these lepers came to the uttermost parts of the camp, they went into the tent and did eat and they drank and they tarried there. And they carried silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and carried it into another tent and carried henceforth also and went and hid it. Man, there was plenty. Provisions, the same thing that God has done in the camp of Satan for you and I today. He's went in and he made provision for us. Jesus Christ has invaded the enemy camp through a supernatural way on the cross of Calvary today, and has made provisions for the whole world. It's made provisions of whosoever will. If you're sitting here this morning, I want to tell you what Christ has done for you. He has invaded the camp of Satan. He has turned you loose of those chains and bondage that you could not help. You can't get up a deal with God because you are a sinner. You can't know God because you are a sinner. You can't come to God because you are a sinner. You must need the Holy Spirit of God to convict you that you are a sinner, and you need the Jesus Christ that died on the cross to cover your sins, that you might be able to come to God in God's righteousness, and that's righteousness of Jesus Christ today. He has made provision for us world today. In Psalm 78 and 41 it says, you know, ye, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They have limited God today, and that's exactly what we're doing today. We have limited God, and that means limited there. That word there in the Hebrew language means God's horizon. Man can see horizon. If you go and look just as far as you look on a flat surface, Your eyes can only see about 21 miles of the horizon before the earth begins to turn and as far as you can see. But I'm going to tell you, when you see as far as you can see, about 21 miles, I'll ask you a question. Are there more of this world than this 21 miles? Far more than what you can see. Well, I want to tell you what your horizon of God is the same way. How much of God can you see? They're always a whole lot more than what we can see. God is a big God, but have you limited God? The problem of these provisions this day, it was supernatural provisions. It was a suitable provisions, and it was sufficient provision. Now I want to talk to you about this third point for just a moment, and this third point is very personal. God saw the problem, and I'm going to tell you, he made a lavish provision for them. I'm going to tell you, I wanted people now to tell about Jesus Christ, and that's what we need to do today in our life today. God used these four lepers now. God used these four lepers. I believe this number four, always in the Bible, those numbers mean something. Always four in the Bible, it's for the earth. The north and the south and the east and the west is for every one of us to go. The north, south, and east and west. And we find this story now. These lepers says now they're outside the gate. They was cut off. They could not go inside the gate of Samaria because they was lepers. They would not allow them in. They sat outside the gate. And then they said to themselves, now, if we sit outside the gate, we're going to starve to death. Now, if we go into the Syrians, they might kill us. But either way, we're going to die anyway, one way or the other. So let us go. So we find out the story now. It says there in verse 9, we do not well this day of good tidings if we hold our peace. They went into the camp. They went into the camp and they said, all this great food. And they begin to think now of those people back in that little small town. It was surrounded. They didn't have anything. Now, I want you to sit here this morning, and I want you to understand, if you're saved today, the great blessing that God has blessed you with. I'm going to tell you what God has made a heaven for you, and you will never die. God's made a blessing. He said, when I'm going to go away and prepare a place for you, when I prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself, and where I am, you shall be there also. God's done that for you. God said, not only that, you're not going to go to heaven when you die. Heaven's going to come to you right now. If you're saved this morning, heaven's living within you. And all the great blessing that God intended to bless you with, God bless you every day as much as you allow him to bless you. I want you to understand that God has given you all these provisions. It's supernatural provision that God has provided for you. They're suitable for everything that you need in your life. And I'm going to tell you what, they're sufficient to meet every need that you have this day. You're sitting here and you're enjoying this thing and you're enjoying what God has given you. And you know the great blessings. You know that God says, I'll save you, that you can't go to hell. You think about the great blessing that God has blessed you with each day. Think about the peace that God gives you every day in your life because you are saved. Think about the nearness of God and the very presence of God is God for you every day of this life. And then we sit here as those lepers did, as we moved into the camp of plenty that God has given us. And do we ever think back about those people that surrounded and those people that starving to death? Do we ever think back about our brothers and sisters as they're surrounded and they have no hope, no help, no way to ever break out from that bondage? They're surrounded there by an enemy. They don't know any better. They don't know to open up those gates and go. Someone must tell them. If we know what we know, why don't we tell other people what we got? I'm telling you today that you understand, we sitting here, we have everything that God has given us. Why do you reckon that God allows you to breathe air just one more day? Why do you think God leaves you? Why do you think he gives you the health to walk up and down the roads every day? Why do you think he give you help to receive the food that you eat every day? Why do you think he give you that breath that you're breathing right now? Why? He wants you to go and tell other people. You understand it's such good to be able to get out of bed. Many people say, I'm so glad I was able to get out of bed this morning. Well, you see the blessing that God has blessed you with. Why don't we go and tell those that are surrounded by the enemies and starving to death a great blessing God has given us today? Why don't we tell them about the things that God has given us today? Oh, I'm going to tell you, we do not well. We do not well. Now they had a conscious stricken now. Apply this to us today. These people were just common people. They were just an old leopard. They were old cast out. But God used them. They yield to faith, and they feasted on the findings. And I'm going to tell you what you lost here today. If you'll yield to the faith that Christ has given you, I'm going to tell you what, you'll start feasting on the finding. If you get up out of your seat and understand you don't just come down this aisle, you come to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You sit in your pews today and say, well, I know I need to be saved. You're not saved because you know to be saved. You say, well, I know how to be saved. Well, you're not saved because you know how to be saved. You're saved by the experience that you have with Christ Jesus. It's a decision to turn and come and repent of your sins and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't have no deal worked out with God. God's got only one deal worked out with mankind, and that's Jesus Christ. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, there's no other way. There's no other way. There's no other way. You must accept Jesus Christ. And that's not knowing about Jesus Christ, because when you accept Jesus Christ, there'll be a change in your life, because the Holy Supernatural, the Spirit of God, will come to live in your heart. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care what anybody says, whenever you accept Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God comes to live within you. The Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ lives within you. And you'll start loving the things that Jesus loved. And you'll start doing what Jesus Christ would have done if he walked on this earth. Jesus Christ still has a body, and that body is you and I today, and we're walking around, and my hands is his hands, my feet is his feet, and your mouth is his mouth. But if we don't tell what Jesus Christ tells us to tell, who's going to tell it if it's not us? These was common people. You know, in Corinthians says, you know, not many are called. The mighty, the noble, they're not many called. I'm going to tell you what, today, it's not your fame. I'm going to tell you it's your faith. It's not your scholarship, it's your relationship. I'm going to tell you, it's not your ability, it's your availability. Amen. Calculated men, verses 3 and 4 of chapter 7. And there were four leopard men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, why we sit here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine's in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we also shall die. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall die anyway. We're going to die one way or the other. Let's do something. Well, I want to tell you, you're going to die also if Jesus Christ don't come back. I doubt 50 years from now there'll be very many of us left if Jesus Christ don't come back and send this congregation right now. I doubt very seriously 50 years there'll be many of us left. I'm going to tell you, in 25 years, there's going to be a whole lot less of us right now. I can tell you that in 25 years. But how about 10 years? Whatever it might be, you're going to die anyway. You got a certain amount of days here on this earth. A certain amount of days. And if you're going to win anybody for the Lord, it's going to be on this side of eternity. It's going to be on this side of eternity if you're going to win anybody for the Lord. All that great verse of scriptures, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. I thought about that so many times. You know what it is? I'm going to heaven, but I won't bring any sheaves with me. Think about this mother and father, and your little ones and your grandkids. God has let you bring something in this world. It's going to last for all eternity. There was a time when you wasn't, but there'll never be a time when you're not. You're going to last somewhere for all eternity. God has given mothers and fathers, and it bothers me so bad to see mothers and fathers take those little ones and have no concern about the things of God upon their life. Those little ones are diamonds, and what you write on those little ones is going to last for all eternity. That's going to last for all eternity. Deliberation. All you have to do is miss heaven is just do nothing. Don't do nothing about it. If you want to go to hell, act naturally. If you want to go to hell, just don't do nothing. That's all you got to do. Set in your pews when the time's come to come down and explain salvation to you. Just set in your pews. If you're lost, and just don't do nothing. Because, see, you don't have to murder. You don't have to kill. You don't have to rape. You don't have to steal. You don't have to be alcoholic. You don't have to be a dope head. You can be a good moral person and sit in the pews on a church on Sunday and go to a place called hell. You see, I believe the devil would rather send you to hell from a place like this on these pews than he had from the darkest part of Africa. Yes, sir. from the darkest part of Africa. You see, all you got to do to starve to death is just don't eat. All you have to do to thirst to death is just don't drink. There's a breath of life, and then there's a water of life. And I'm telling you, it's all up to you. These men was convinced men. Verse 5, and they rose up early in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they will come to the utmost parts of the camp, the Syrian, behold, there was no man there. They yield to convictions, and I'm going to tell you, acknowledge their sins and their decision they made. Decision that you need to be saved. It's not enough just to want to. Listen, I have witnessed to people a lot of times. And I get through witness to them, I've asked them several times. Once in a while, a woman will tell me, yes, I'm lost. Not too long ago, I went to a man's house, and I talked to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, are you saved? He said, no, I've never been saved. I said, if you die right now, where are you going to go? He said, I go to hell. I said, in other words, you're telling me that you're lost? Yes. Then I explained to him as best as I could about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then I asked him, I said, you want me saved right now? He says, no. No. Not right now. You sit out here today, you never accepted Jesus Christ, you say, no. No, not right now. You know, he may not never have another opportunity. That person may not never have another opportunity to be saved. And you might not never have an opportunity to be saved if you're here today. If you're here today. If we sit here till we die, what then? Witness the victory. Are you convinced of the victory of Calvary today? Evidently, we're not convinced of what Christ has done for us in Calvary. Reason some don't witness is because they're not convinced what Christ has done for them on Calvary. They will do everything he can to keep you being convinced of that. They were contending men there in verse 8. It says, when these lepers came to the innermost parts of the camp, they went into one tent, they did drink and eat, and they went all the way through the camp. There were so many things. They was contending men. There's great, great signs now today where so many Christians are contented. But you want to follow Jesus Christ and tell people about Jesus Christ. Do you go and tell? You know, we have visitation every week. Every week we have visitation. Little boy said to his mother, and his mother told him something, said, little boy, so-and-so. He says, I ain't going, mother. Now, she wanted to correct him. She said, now, son, can't say that. You say, they ain't going. He's not going. You're not going. You understand that? He said, yes, ma'am, don't look like ain't nobody going. Sometimes I have that feeling. Sometimes I have that feeling in our churches, ain't nobody going. Are you going? Convicted men, if we tarry here to the morning, some mischief shall come unto us. Now, I do believe if God has allowed you to witness and you don't, there'll be some mischief. I know a lot of people have retired and they got their whole life now to go out and just witness and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder when I get where I can't pastor what God's going to let me do. But I'm going to tell you, I'd be afraid to sit down and not do nothing because some mischief might befall me. It might be some sickness. It might be this. It might be that. Do you think that you can get by with disobedience with God and get away with it? I'm going to tell you, we're all going to reckon today and stand before the Lord. People suffer because so many times they're so uninformed. How they're not uninformed? Because faith come by hearing, hearing the word of God. They're inconvenienced because, you see, how shall they hear unless a preacher is sent? That's you and me. It's so important to them as they look upon the world. They're so uncommitted because of disobedience. We must get up. You know, we must wake up. We must listen up and be attentive. We must sign up and be committed. We must gear up and get ready. We must team up and get organized. We must speed up and get going. I know that a lot of us several weeks ago saw these miners was trapped underground for about 2 months. They were in Chile. And I got to thinking how many dollars, how much money, how much time, how much that people invested. And they just give their time, their talent to bring those people up out of the earth. And you saw those people, they was brought up out of the earth and how they was proud to breathe that fresh air again. But also got to thinking, if those people don't know Jesus Christ, with all the money and all the time and all the talent and all the machinery and all the technology to bring those people up out of the ground, if they're not told about Jesus Christ and accept Him as Lord and Savior, did you know what's going to happen to them? They're going to go back down. They would have brought them up just for them to go back down. Remember several years ago out at Midland, Texas, a little girl called Jessica, the same way, fell down a little pipe. And they have a lot of technology people met around the clock to save the little girl's life. And I want to tell you around us today, there are some little ones that's already filling the hole of Satan. They already reached that age of accountability. And I want to tell you, what are you doing about saving those little ones? Yeah, I hear a lot of negative things sometimes about our young people, sometimes about our teenagers. They don't act like this, and they don't do this, and they shouldn't do that. But I want to tell you what, we need to do everything we can for them. Because, see, they may not have the right upbringing that you and I have had. They might not have had a chance to know Jesus as you've had and I've had. But out of our future church and the young people that we have, I'm going to tell you, they may be a Billy Graham in that Sunday school class. They may be a preacher or two in that class. Ladies that goes on missionaries in that class. You don't know what God can do to these little ones, and we just help them do what we need to do. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you know this is your opportunity. You say, well, I'll wait and come back next week. You know, you won't. You don't come back next week and get saved. If the Spirit of God lets you know that right now the day is a day that you need to come forward and say, Jesus Christ, that I know that I'm a sinner, and I'm asking you, I want to repent of my sins, and I want you to forgive my sins. I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. I want to come and I want to follow Jesus Christ through church membership and baptism. God never called anybody except He planned for them to have a church membership and baptism, because it's the first obedience of God. I'd like for you to come this time. We have a song of invitation. God has spoke to you in other ways. I hope that God has spoke to you in soul winning, because there's a lot of people surrounded by the enemy. There's no hope, no way that they might be saved unless someone tells them about Jesus. Unless someone tells them about Jesus. Would you say, I'll be the one? Why don't you ask God, say, God, would you put somebody on my heart this coming week? And I can assure you that He will put more than one on your heart if you'll just go. God, who is it that you want me to visit? Who is it you want me to love to Jesus Christ? You just tell me. Will you be the obedient to go back and tell that person about Jesus? As we stand and sing.